Far out in the ocean, where the water is as blue as the prettiest cornflower and as clear as crystal, it is very, very deep. So deep indeed that no cable could fathom it. There dwell the Sea King and his subjects. They were six beautiful children, but the youngest was the prettiest of them all. Her skin was as clear and delicate as a rose leaf, but like all others, she had no feet, and her body ended in a fish tail. Nothing gave her so much pleasure as to hear about the world above the sea. A large ship with three masts lay becalmed on the water. The little mermaid swam close to the cabin windows, and she could see a number of well-dressed people within. Among them was a young prince, the most beautiful of all, with large black eyes. It was very late, yet the little mermaid could not take her eyes from the beautiful prince. The sea became restless, and a moaning, grumbling sound could be heard beneath the waves. Soon the waves rose higher, heavy clouds darkened the sky, and lightning appeared in the distance. A dreadful storm was approaching. In the morning, the storm had ceased, but of the ship not a single fragment could be seen. She held his head above the water and let the waves drift them where they would. The mermaid kissed his high, smooth forehead and stroked back his wet hair and wished that he might live. She did not wait long before she saw a young girl approach the spot where he lay. She seemed frightened at first, but only for a moment. Then she fetched a number of people, and the mermaid saw that the prince came to life again and smiled upon those who stood round him. But to her he sent no smile. He knew not that she had saved him. This made her very unhappy, and when he was led away into the great building, she dived down sorrowfully into the water and returned to her father's castle. It was her only comfort to sit in her own little garden and fling her arm around the beautiful marble statue, which was like the prince. Then she heard the bugle sounding through the water and thought, "He's certainly sailing above, he on whom my wishes depend, and in whose hands I should like to place the happiness of my life. I will venture all for him, and to win an immortal soul." And then the little mermaid went out from her garden and took the road to the foaming whirlpools behind which the sorceress lived. She had never been that way before. Neither flowers nor grass grew there. Nothing but bare, grey, sandy ground stretched out to the whirlpool, where the water, like foaming mill wheels, whirled round everything that it seized and cast it into the fathomless deep. "I know what you want," said the sea witch. "I will prepare a draught for you, with which you must swim to the land tomorrow before sunrise and sit down on the shore and drink it. Your tail will then disappear and shrink up into what mankind calls legs. But all who see you will say that you are the prettiest little human being they ever saw. But at every step you take, it will feel as if you were treading upon sharp knives, and that the blood must flow. But think again," said the witch, "for when once your shape has become like a human being, you can no more be a mermaid. You will never return through the water to your sisters or to your father's palace again. And if you do not win the love of the prince, you will never have an immortal soul. The first morning after he marries another, your heart will break, and you will become foam on the crest of the waves." "I will do it," said the little mermaid, and she became pale as death. She saw that in her father's palace the torches in the ballroom were extinguished, and all within asleep. but she did not venture to go into them. She felt as if her heart would break. When the sun arose and shone over the sea, she recovered and felt a sharp pain. But just before her stood the handsome young prince. He fixed his cold black eyes upon her so honestly that she cast down her own and then became aware that her fish tail was gone and that she had as pretty a pair of white legs and tiny feet as any little maiden could have. The prince said she should remain with him always, and she received permission to sleep at his door on a velvet cushion. As the day passed, she loved the prince more fondly, and he loved her as he would love a little child. But it never came into his head to make her his wife. Yet, unless he married her, she could not receive an immortal soul, and on the morning after his marriage with another, she would dissolve into the foam of the sea. Very soon it was said that the prince must marry, and that the beautiful daughter of a neighboring king would be his wife. He folded his blushing bride in his arms. "Oh, I am too happy," said he to the little mermaid. "My fondest hopes are all fulfilled. You will rejoice at my happiness, for your devotion to me is great and sincere." The little mermaid kissed his hand and felt as if her heart were already broken. All became still on board the ship. The little mermaid leaned her white arms on the edge of the vessel. She saw her sisters rising out of the flood. The long, beautiful hair waved no more in the wind and had been cut off. "We have given our hair to the witch," said they, "to obtain help for you that you may not die tonight. She has given us a knife. You must plunge it into the heart of the prince. Then your feet will grow together again and form into a fish tail, and you will be once more a mermaid. Haste then. He or you must die before sunrise." She bent down and kissed his fair brow, then looked at the sky on which the rosy dawn grew brighter and brighter. Then she glanced at the sharp knife and again fixed her eyes on the prince who whispered the name of his bride in his dreams. She was in his thoughts, and the knife trembled in the hand of the little mermaid. Then she flung it far away from her into the waves. She cast one more lingering, half-fainting glance at the prince, and then threw herself from the ship into the sea, and thought her body was dissolving into foam. The sun rose above the waves, and his warm rays fell on the cold foam of the little mermaid, who did not feel as if she were dying. She saw the bright sun, and all around her floated hundreds of transparent, beautiful beings. "Where am I?" asked she. "Among the daughters of the air," answered one of them. "A mermaid has not an immortal soul, nor can she obtain one unless she wins the love of a human being. On the power of another hangs her eternal destiny. But the daughters of the air, although they do not possess an immortal soul, can by their good deeds procure one themselves. Your poor little mermaid have tried with your whole heart to do as we are doing. You have suffered and endured and raised yourself to the spirit world by your good deeds." Unseen, she kissed the forehead of her bride and fanned the prince, and then mounted with the other children of the air to a rosy cloud that floated through the ether.